Hey everybody, it's like 4 in the morning and I can't sleep, and so, you know, what better thing to do than a questionnaire? So I have no idea what the sound quality is going to be like. I just opened my laptop and I'm just going to use my mic built into the laptop, and I've never done that, so we'll see. I'm hoping I'll fall back to sleep. Okay, so I had this one saved, and this seems like a middle of the night questionnaire. It is the White Rabbit Questionnaire by Before Night Falls. Question 1. You are in a park. When you see a white rabbit in a vest holding a pocket watch, declaring to no one in particular his tardiness. Do you follow him? Do you continue down the rabbit hole, knowing full well where it might lead? Abso-fucking-lutely. Yeah. For better or worse, I am a very impetuous person. I don't take stupid risks, but how could you not? You've got a talking rabbit standing in front of you. You gotta find out what that is. Question 2, who are you? How do you know that? Who am I? Is it Tennyson? It's a, I am a part of all whom I have met. This is a question I struggle with lately, actually. I mean, I think I'm the sum of my experiences. I'm the sum of, which includes my experiences with other people. But how do you know this part? That's one that, had you asked me 5 years ago, I would have answered quite differently. I think in the last 5 years, I have come to a much more keen appreciation for the fact that there's so many degrees of self-awareness. And that we don't all possess the same self-awareness skills. So, I think it would be arrogant to say I know exactly who I am. It would also be rather boring, because what am I going to do for the rest of my life if I've already figured it all out? Question 3. Are you simply your mind or your body or a combination, or something more? Yeah, that's a middle of the night question, isn't it? I'm going to take this literally and say my mind, because we all know that the mind controls everything else. Everything about our body is controlled by our brains. But the question doesn't say brain, it says mind. So, let me answer it more philosophically. I would say that up until recent times, I would have said mind. But I've gotten to know my body quite a bit in the last few years, and sort of recalibrated the relationship between my body and my mind, if that makes sense. And I don't know if some of that comes from a certain increase in self-confidence or self-awareness or what, but no, it's definitely a combination of of both. Define consciousness in your own words. How do you know you are conscious? Does anyone know that they're conscious? I think I get the idea here. Oh, I just looked at the next question. Okay, so define consciousness. Consciousness is being present, mentally present in the moment, where your mind is not elsewhere. Your mind is not thinking of what has to be done tomorrow or what should have been done yesterday, but just right here, right now. For example, earlier tonight I was feeling kind of sorry for myself and decided to do something about it. So I went for a walk in the woods. I'm lucky to live near some rather stunning metro parks and decided to go walk in one. And I obviously, my mind was racing with all kinds of thoughts, which is why I went for the walk. But as I was walking, and this is really, really, it's gorgeous, but deep, thick woods, and could kind of feel my mind quieting, which was the whole point of going on the walk. And for quite a while, there was no one on the trail. And I came to this rather tall tree stump. They must have cut it down for, I don't know, unless it's some reason. It's a place that leaves nature to its own devices, although they do maintain the trail for safety, so it's probably something like that. But so there's this tree stump, and it's 20 feet high, maybe 15. And perched on it is this pretty decent sized hawk. He's head to tail. He's probably, I don't know if I said at least 18 inches. I don't know. He was a good sized hawk. I think he was one of the smaller species around here. But anyway, he saw me because there's nothing else moving around. And being that it is a decent sized hawk, perched above the trail, anything I think that would have feared a hawk would be in hiding. So it's just me and him. And, you know, he watches me like a hawk. And it was just, it was wild. And then later on, I was able to get within about 15 feet of a doe having her dinner. And same thing, you know, she was watching me, and I was, you know, I'll admit, I was trying to get as close to her as I could, without scaring her, without interfering with her meal. And I just, you know, it was just being present and watching her and watching her watch me. And, in a weird way, there's a connection, you know, I'm a living thing here in this place, and you're a living thing here in this place, and we have no way to communicate, but We take notice of one another. And then I went on my way. So how do you know you're conscious? I guess it's sort of that inner dialogue of recognizing those moments when they happen. Kind of a meta-awareness of what's going on. Number four, define consciousness in your own words. How do you know you are conscious? I am tired. I just answered that question. Number five, is it possible to prove that other people beside yourself have consciousness, and how would you prove it? I have a very specific answer to this question. So I like to listen to podcasts of all different kinds, but lately I've been a little hooked on Pete Holmes, the comedian. He has a podcast called You Made It Weird or You Make It Weird. And he had, I was listening to an episode where he had the musician Chris Teal on, who I had never encountered before that podcast. But anyway, they were having a conversation about this very question. And they're specifically discussing music and art and what happens when you experience music or art or whatever, it could be anything, in the presence of another person or many people. And Pete Holmes boils it down to when you experience something with another person, whether it's a person you know or, you know, a stranger in a museum, it's all about asking the question, are you getting the same thing I'm getting here? So he talks about colors, and he says, you know, one of the first meta type thoughts a lot of people have when they're young is when they learn that color is, you know, it's perceived. And that the yellow that I see may not be the yellow that you see, but that being aware of that fact allows you to have the conversation about what you see, and that conversation is basically saying, this is what I'm getting from this color. You're getting basically the same thing? Cool. And that's, in a rather flippant way, how you would prove it. And I like that idea. I like that idea that we can look at something abstract like a painting and come away with something similar. Not that it's about being similar, because I think the real interesting parts of life are in the difference, but that you can find that connection, I guess, the response. Does intelligence and consciousness go hand in hand? Absolutely not. Absolutely fucking not. Okay, and I can prove it, and moving on. Number seven, how can you be certain that other people exist and are not extensions of your consciousness? Well, you can't. Not really. Except... you can't. I mean, if you're going to get really deep about this, there's no way. We perceive everything through the filtered lens of our brain. So even when people, let's say for a moment that reality with a capital R exists and we all acknowledge it and we all experience it the same way. Whatever someone's response to us is, or whatever someone's reaction to us is, it still gets filtered through our perception. You know, we've all had the experience of, and I think this happens with online interactions quite a bit, because while we do a lot of things by audio in this community, there are many communities where everything is based on text, and you have no context, you have no tone, you have no, you know, it's hard to perceive attitude and intention. So you filter the words through your own perception, and sometimes we filter them in ways that distort them. And I've had several experiences where there's been an interaction through text, and I've been very, very concerned or stressed out at someone's response, and then talk to them about it later, and they're like, no, it was really not a big deal. So, yeah, you can't be certain of that, I guess. Can a machine obtain consciousness? Why or why not? Oh, who knows? I am not a machine person. I'm not a math science person. I know a little bit about recent developments in AI, and that we can get, I mean, our brain is basically a machine. It's a very sophisticated machine, but it's a machine. It's a series of electrical impulses that process and disseminate information. Who knows? I don't know enough about that to say that. I can say that it's looking more likely. But really, aren't we just machines? We're made of organic materials, but we're machines. You know, someone turns us on at birth and someone turns us off at death, and in between, we just keep going. You know, we can't turn ourselves off. Anyway, okay. Excuse me. If someone is cloned, are they conscious of the same person or someone new? I'm not sure I understand this question. I mean, if we're talking sort of sci-fi world, if you're cloned, you're cloned. You're exactly the same as someone else. Is this the nature-nurture question? Like, if you have identical twins, are they sort of like clones? And are they different people? Of course they are. Do you make choices, or are your choices only made because of forces acting on you? Ultimately, do you have free will, or is it simply an illusion? Wow, I don't think this questionnaire is going to help me get to sleep at all. I'm going to lie the rest of the night awake thinking about these questions. Well, of course we have free will. But the choices that we make, I mean, this is such a layered question. We have free will to act. But how we choose to act is going to be based on this plethora of experiences we've had throughout life that have informed the way we behave. So it's all one big tangled mess. Number 11. Do we have the right to be happy, or is it a privilege that must be earned? Oh no, everyone has the right to be happy. Absolutely. Maybe it's a privilege to be earned if, and I realize this is very dangerous territory, but if you've, you know, let's say you murdered someone just in cold blood. Just, hey, I think it would be interesting to see what it feels like to take another human life. You've got some work to do to, I would say, earn the privilege of being happy, and perhaps you don't deserve it. Now, having said that, I just answered a question in which I said everything we do is a result of accumulated experiences, so maybe that person's choice to do that wasn't entirely their own. You know, maybe there's a history there that has warped their sense of morality or ethics, or yeah. But you know, coming out of the womb, yeah, everybody's got the right to be happy. Number 12, what is the actual value of currency? The actual value is next to nothing, whatever it's made out of. Number 13, every time you wake from your bed, can you be certain you are still not in a dream? Are you grounded in the knowledge that the waking life is real and your dreams are simple fantasy? Not always. I have, funny thing about me, it sometimes drives people in my life crazy. Sometimes I'm a very, very vivid dreamer. And I used to suffer from chronic nightmares, like for most of my life. And some of them would be so vivid and produce such visceral responses in my body that over time, I can't always distinguish that which was real and that which was a dream, especially since so much of our dreams are, you know, processing experiences that we've had, especially recent experiences. So many, many, many times in relationships, I've had conversations where, you know, I'll say, well, we talked about this. Remember we had this discussion? And I go on and on and on, and like, we never had that discussion. No. And I said, sure we did, because then, remember, then we went and walked by the lake, and they're like, yeah, we definitely did not walk at the lake any time in the last week. In theory, yes, of course, we can tell the difference. But sometimes, you know, if you see the brain as just a very complex organic computer, you can have the same dreams can feel like reality. Are you certain of your own existence? Yeah, there's too much pain in the world not to say, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's too much. Too much. Are you free? If not, how can you become free? You know, it's interesting. I think I am. I may possibly be free for the first time in my life, which is kind of cool. Very cool. But not entirely, you know, again, we are the sum of our experiences, so especially at, you know, 4:13 in the morning, you know, you have those, I wish I could have done this or I should have done that. And yes, intellectually, I know that those regrets, if you want to call them, serve little purpose other than to make ourselves miserable. But again, I think that comes back to the consciousness question. I think we have to reflect, you know, the cliche, the unexamined life is not worth living. I believe that very deeply. And that the only way we can have free will and the only way we can make truly independent choices is by reflecting on the choices we've made in the past and thinking about what may have informed them. That's not to absolve ourselves of agency or responsibility, but to understand ourselves. And I think one of the things that I've been learning over the past few years is that not everyone does understand themselves. I'm not anywhere near the point where I could say I understand myself. No way. I'm not that arrogant. But I do think that I reflect. And I'm not afraid to say sometimes obsess over past decisions, especially those that affect other people's lives as well. So, well, lots of stuff to think about, and I think I'm still conscious, so. But who knows? I am lying here in bed, unable to sleep, so maybe this is just a dream about not being able to sleep. I'm going to try to sleep. Thanks for listening. Bye.